item of business, call the order, roll call.
Mayor Pro Tem Jennings.
Present.
Alderman McCowen.
Present.
Alderwoman Schnell.
Present.
Mayor Sanford.
Present.
Alderman Hoskins.
Present.
Alderman Bowles.
Present.
We have a forum.
Item 2.0, pledge allegiance. I pledge allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the United Texas, one day under God, one and indivisible.
3.0, special presentation. We don't have any. 4.0, council reports and requests. 4.1, Mayor Sanford. 4.1.1, items of community interest. I do not have any. We're going to go on to public comments. 5.0, Mr. Thaw, can you read?
Do you want me to read what's on the agenda?
No, the rules.
Didn't bring a copy with me this evening.
5.1, public comments. This is the opportunity for the public to address council or comment on items which appear on the agenda. Time is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Comments are to be directed to the city council and dialogue with the audience is not permitted. Council members are prohibited by law from participating in discussion or deliberation of items not specifically identified on this agenda. We're going to start over here. Do you have anything? Anybody up here? Okay.
Good evening. My name is Christy Keller and I live at 3315 East Bayou Drive. And I'm here to address two items and I'll be very brief. The first one is the mowing of the Center Esplanade down Shore Acres Boulevard. I'd like to know why, whether it's the city workers or a paid contractor, why they aren't blowing or sweeping the clippings up from the curb. In the heavy rains with it building up like that, it just flows into the few storm sewer inlets that we have. And I just don't think that it looks tight. It looks like the work's not complete and that's been going on for quite a while. My second item is that I am, I noticed that you're going to be discussing the trash contract and I am here to ask, what is it going to take to get heavy trash pickup for this city? I've come to two prior city councils and made that request in the presentation. And I understand that it may possibly be up for discussion again. I don't think that it's right to require citizens to go out on their own to haul off their debris. The one green waste that we had was okay, but we weren't allowed to put any heavy trash out. And if any of you want to spend a few minutes and drive through the city, you'll see that there's a lot of need for it. I think what's allowed to be out there is very detracting. Thank you very much.
Anyone? No more.
Hello, I'm Neil Moyer. I live at 1118 North Country Club Drive. I'd like to address what appear to be three items, 7.3, 7.4, 7.5 regarding trash pickup and contracts. I have to confess that when I reviewed the council packet, I must have overlooked the waste management proposal, the schedule of charges. And for that, I guess I'm responsible, though I would like to see any proposals that the city is working on, including that of the current contract, laid out side by side so that all charges can be viewed as equivalents or equals so that we can see where. I know the waste management one embedded in its language has some additional requirements for fuel cost adjustment charges. I may not have seen that in any of the other proposals, and so I don't know what the implications are for that. It starts at about $2.70 a gallon, so I presume we have to have some accounting from waste management, how they plan to assess that, and where that would show up. On the Mara Waste proposal, on the recycling part, it rather has an interesting thing in there. It says it will be $35.48 per year plus tax for recycling to be done every other week. And that charge will be made, quote, directly to the resident. Now, I don't know that I consider that novel, but it's certainly a change from the circumstances we have now. It also has a minimum 200 participant kicker in there, so that this wouldn't even happen until somehow it had been assessed that there were 200 participants. And with regard to Republic, I think it's time to see a proposal from them, or at least the current schedule. I will remind the council, for those who have shorter memories than I do, and mine's getting shorter every day, the reason why the city is doing the recycling itself is because Republic, which originally had as part of their contract to do recycling, which was two or three mayors ago, was caught commingling the recyclables with the trash, and we were paying an extra charge for that. So that's why that was suspended, since it seemed rather pointless to pay for recycling when, in fact, recycling wasn't being done by the contractor. So that's how the city got involved in doing that task on its own. But as I said in the beginning, I think it would do well for the council as well as the rest of the citizens to be able to see side by side charges in each proposal, so that one can see where the costs have been juggled and what additional provisions there are that are different as far as how they affect both recycling, trash pickup, and heavy pickup. Some of the language in what is allowable for recycling needs to be reviewed to make sure that we do see some comparability. Same thing on the heavy pickup. I think there needs to be some review of the language specifically there to see what's covered, what isn't covered explicitly, and how any additional charges a contractor might propose for things that are outside the terms of their contract would be dealt with. And with that, closes my comments. Thank you.
Darling Bay, 616 Baywood. I'm going to be optimistic, because I was told I was very negative. So I'm going to be optimistic tonight. To a point. I was turning on Baywood Saturday and happened to see a man in a ditch with a push mower. It was the lots that we just bought a few months ago by this nice young man who's been clearing it off every weekend. And his ditch had gotten so high that, it's covering up the mail box. And the ditch down from me is so deep and overgrown, you can't see anything there. Maybe a coon is out there taking the trash out, which we have lots of. But I think with him just buying that property and working so diligently to clear it, to build in this community, it was pathetic to see him down in that deep ditch, because it is deep. There was a bay with it and had the covers. I think it's irresponsible of the city not to be able to keep our ditches mowed. I drive to the city 3 or 4 times a week, and the ditches are awful. They're awful. Yes, it's rained the last couple of weeks. It didn't rain in July much. We still didn't get ditches mowed. I've tried going out with a weed hacker and hacking the weeds. Gets caught up in the vines, so that's enough. So it'd be nice if we, as a city, can't do it, then contract it out, find the money somewhere. There's lots of money from what we were told. We're in good financial shape. Because they do need to be mowed. There are health hazards. The one on Baywood goes into the bio, drains into the bio. It can't drain because it's overgrown. So if we get a major rainstorm, or heaven forbid a hurricane, on that. On the water rates and the sewer rates, we have the highest in the area. And as myself and my husband, there's just two of us, we don't use much water. There's a lot of seniors in this community on fixed income, and it is too high. $100 water bill is too high for two people. I imagine there's some that's higher, and if they're okay with it, that's fine, but I'm not okay with it. It's just too high. When it comes to trash pickup, we need full, but we don't need it once a week. Maybe not even twice a month. Once a month would be good. The fork has it twice a month, and they're so much bigger. And when it comes to recycling, call me a bad person, but I don't recycle because we don't use that much. It seems to recycle. So, I mean, there's plenty of places you'd want to recycle, but I don't think charging everybody for recycling if they don't recycle is right. That's it. Thank you.
Sewer line failure repair update. The contractor has completed the cured-in-place pipe repair from the center of Shoreacres Boulevard North to the new line that was pipe burst into place. They were prepared 2 weeks ago to do the portion from the north end of that that runs underneath the water tower to the north of north city limits, where we have a manhole that the line would terminate in. Unfortunately, they discovered that that pipe was a different size. It was 23-inch. They discovered that more than 2 weeks ago, and they came out, and the liner that was delivered to them was defective. And so it was returned to the supplier. The supplier said it would take 3 weeks to fabricate new 23-inch liner to be installed. So we're about 2 weeks into that, 3 weeks away, and as soon as they get that liner, then they'll go ahead and complete that project, lighting the existing pipe from where the new pipe bursting, which is really at the intersection of West Country Club and North Country Club, to the north end of the city limits, just the other side of the water tower. And so that's where we're at on that project. Any questions on that? Next item at 6.1.2.
Can I have a question? Is there a charge for that liner that was affected?
Not to
us. There's no charge to that.
No, we have a contract. Yeah, we have a unit-based contract, and so that's all of them. palm tree disease update. That's been moving very slowly. I'm not sure if that's good or bad. Probably more good. We had a visit from Texas A&M in June. They came out, a doctor from A&M came out and made a site inspection and looked at our trees. We had tagged those trees and had also provided them with a geotag mapping. They were surprised to find no more incidents of the date palm lethal decline than what we had already identified, which was really only two living trees. All the rest were already dead. They did determine that most of the dead palms that we have on Shoreacres Boulevard were the result of the date palm lethal decline. But the other trees in the city that showed some potential signs of that, they determined were not suffering from that disease, that it was heat stress, that those palms and the fan palms that are scorched as opposed to having fusarium. So it was really good news that we don't have the disease spreading elsewhere through the city. They did an insect collection on that date. They reported back to the Texas Department of Agriculture. They are planning to pitch to the Texas Department of Agriculture to use our city and our trees as an opportunity to do inspector training, because we have trees that do have the disease, and don't have the disease but look stressed, and being able to differentiate between those. They also have asked if we would have any objection, and I spoke to the city and said we would not, to them using drones to inspect the spear leaf. The palm tree's health is really determined and dies first from the spear leaf, which was in the center of the top of the tree, which you cannot see from the ground. And so their thought is try a new approach and use a drone to go up and do a video or photograph of the spear leaf and make a determination early on whether the tree is affected. All that said, I sent an inquiry about a week and a half ago or a week ago asking if there's been any additional movement, and I have not received a return email to those that I asked that. We have not had any official communication with the Texas Department of Agriculture, and previous discussions of quarantines or required actions on the city's part would only come from the Texas Department of Agriculture, and they have not communicated back to us any requirements whatsoever or actions. That said, we do have a number of dead trees. At some point, those trees need to come down. They're not in danger of falling down on their own at this point. It's really a cost issue.
Are we ordered to take those?
We are not ordered. We have got nothing from Texas Department of Agriculture.
We have no requirement to take
them down. No requirement that we take them down other than we know at some point they'll have to come down. But when we can budget that and accomplish it, it will be pricey.
Have you gotten budget? Or have you gotten bids?
I have not sought bids on that. I have tagged the trees. If you can see, the trees have a red marker on them. But we really were expecting to hear some of the Department of Agriculture. If they mandate that we take them down, then there'll be a very specific requirements how they have to be handled. And that would need to be part of the bid package. Or the quote package. It doesn't necessarily have to be bid, the quote. And that's all I have on the palm trees.
So moving on to 7.0 business, consideration and approval of invoices.
Like to do the financial report?
Oh, I'm sorry. I think that go for it.
In the package is your the monthly end of July 31st by line item. The general fund checking account balance at the end of July was $123,177.54. Utility fund checking balance is $53,409.44. We're holding $59,206.31 in service deposits on our utility accounts. Our CDBG fund still has $22,713.68 in it. Text pool. We've made no withdrawals and no deposits in text pool this year. We've earned $1,543.27 of interest, bringing our end of July balance to $685,613.46. We have our four certificates deposit with a maturity value of $255,852. Property taxes. During the month of July, we collected $1,451.67 in current taxes, no delinquent taxes. That brings our total collected property taxes, current, delinquent, and the collection costs of $875,284.40. Our sales tax revenue for July was $6,974.43, and our road maintenance sales tax was $1,743.61. That's the financial report.
Mr. Stahl, during on the financial reporting, the mayor is saying on social media that you are refusing to work with her. You are refusing to give her the projected end of year numbers. I only recently gave her revenues. She has yet to receive the projected end of year. Are you holding stuff back from the mayor?
He gave me the projected end of years today, finally, but not complete. I gave him the
No, sir. I'm not withholding any information.
Okay, because one of her supporters is using that to say that we shouldn't not have taken the employee
This is on the monthly financial report, not on the budget.
This is about the finances of the city.
So what you're discussing is the budget, which is on the agenda. We're going to have to move on. 7.0.
Actually, I have a few questions.
Okay.
You probably got over this before, Mr. Small, but on the sewer department, under 6369D, outside services of $241,000 that we spent. Can you kind of elaborate on that and give us a reminder on what that was spent on, as well as the 6345-8 supplies?
Yes, the off the top of my head, the $241,787.90 includes approximately $161,000 that was for the West Country Club repair that will be moved to capital outlays, where we have done a budget amendment and put in the $350,000. The AP, accounts payable clerk, put it in outside services because we didn't have it set up. We had zero in her original setup for the funding, so that will move. And your other question was?
Well, the $43,000 for supplies.
So $43,527 from supplies is for the bypass pumping, primarily for the bypass pumping we did during the period of the failure, the rental of the pump, and for those costs attended to making it flow until we could get the repair done.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
I also have another question regarding this. What is the total that we've spent on refuse, including bulk, to date?
Well, I don't have the to-date number with me. I do have through the end of July, $86,836.83.
And how much of that did we spend on bulk, on that bulk pickup?
$20,028.13. And that probably, that is, I believe, a year-to-date on that because it's not an ongoing expense.
So $20,028 on bulk to date?
Yes.
And what was the other revenue?
The regular household was $60,568.20.
Okay, what is it projected on that for the end of the year?
Yep, that accounts for their okay.
72.
Yes, that's correct.
72,000.
72,000, and that would be plus or minus.
And that's just for household trash refuse.
That's correct.
Plus the $20,000 that was spent on bulk so far, so we're at $92,028.
I don't. Well, okay. Yes.
So, moving on to 7.0 business, 7.1 consideration of approval of invoices. Make a motion. Make a motion to compare invoices.
Second.
So we have a motion to compare invoices by Alderman Snell, seconded by McCown.
Now we're going to have a question about one of the invoices. Okay. One of the
well, can we open it up for discussion and then you can
sure.
Talk about the invoices? So we have a motion to compare invoices by Alderman Snell, seconded by Alderman McCown. So we have discussion, starting with David Jennings.
Yeah, I have a concern about the invoice or a receipt that you turned in with the Hyatt Regency in San Antonio.
Yes.
Why is the city paying for this? When you had brought it up, you said that you'd gotten some sort of scholarship to go. And now I see you've got $436 for a hotel room. $107 in parking.
It's actually $87 because 20 of it was room upgrade that I paid for myself.
Okay, so it's on here is $107.80.
Right, but
and,
Mr. Saul was advised
$33 at the Hard Rock Cafe. I'm just curious as why the city is responsible for that.
Well, because it's for a hotel for a Texas Municipal League continuing education that is recommended for the mayor to take, and I'm not going to sit in my car. No doubt. that's something that the city is reimburses for, along with meals, which is one dinner out of a 3-day. And it starts with the rest as far as meals go. I pay for myself. TML pays for the conference, and they'll reimburse $100 of those fees. That was a scholarship.
And Mr. Stahl, has any other mayor ever turned in stuff like this?
Oh, I suppose they have. I only know for a fact that Mr. Moses did not. I don't believe Weber did. I don't believe Aaron did, but I can't speak to the two before that.
Mr. Stahl, do you turn in things like that when you go to your continuing education?
Absolutely.
So we have a motion on the floor to approve our invoices brought by Alderman Schnell, seconded by McCown. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those against?
Nay.
Nay.
Okay, so we have it passes 3-2. McCown, Schnell, and Hoskins are for it, and Jennings and Foles are against. On to 7.2, consideration and approval of ordinance number 2016-216, amending the city code related to rates and charges for water and sewer. Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion to consider approve ordinance 2016-216, amending the city code relating to rates and charges for water and sewer services.
Do we have a second?
A second.
So we have a motion to approve ordinance number 2016-216, amending the city code relating to rates and charges for water and sewer services, brought by Alderman Hoskins, seconded by Alderman Schnell.
I believe I have the floor first. And I did specifically ask that question to Mr. Stahl about the outside services, and got a good explanation as to regarding that being capital outlays. And it's important when we look at our water rates that we don't take our capital expenses and throw those all into one year, because that simply is unfair to citizens for us one year as a citizen to pay for something that's good for citizens. It has a 50-year lifespan, some of these capital expenses and capital improvement projects. So just looking at this real quickly and what Mr. Stahl put out, we had revenues from water sales through 7/31 of 2016 of $260,000. So if you take out the equipment, which is a capital outlay, our expenses are $187,000, leaving us a profit in the water of $73,196. We still have two more months to go, and we're still in the hottest months. Cutting that by 22% is all what I'm proposing, and that would decrease our profits by $57,000, give citizens relief, and we will still be putting additional money into in excess. So it's not a break even still. It's still an increase over what it was the year before, but it's just not as much of an increase, and that's all I'm asking for. And it's the third time I'm trying it, but might as well. I'm going to relinquish the floor.
Okay, we're going to go start with Alderman Jennings.
Yeah. That's the third time I've tried to explain it, Ron. Maybe the third time's a charm. Let's just work on this again. Okay. Have you looked at line item 2401 on page 10? It's $143,000 transfer that has not been made. What that is that's overhead. And Mr. Stahl makes that transfer at the end of the year. So you still have that sitting out there. So your $73,000 profit is wiped out. There's no such thing as profit in this water bill. Okay, what to date, Now, let's look it into here. I did a PowerPoint. I left it. I tried to send it to Mr. Stahl. It didn't work. So I'm just using my notes. Sorry, guys. You'll have to try to follow along. End of the year, projected revenue in the water department, $330,000. Projected expenditures minus capital run is $228,000. That gives you, in your terms, a net profit of $101,000. Unfortunately, it's not. You still have the $22,000 capital outlay. You still have, and I'm allocating this. Mr. Stahl traditionally dumps the entire $143,000 into the water department because he knows it's all one fund. But I allocated it 45% water, 45% sewer, 10% refuge. So if you do that 45%, that's $64,648. Also not included in here, Ron, if you'll look at your schedule for line item 6180, that's 70 of workers' compensation. Mr. Stahl makes a reversing transaction, or a split your allocation transaction at the end of the year to cover workers' comp. So that's another $3,400. So you add that up, and your profit, in your words, profit, now we're down to $11,000. But that doesn't count for all of the late fees. If you look at your revenue, 100% of the late fees are given to the water department. Allocate that back out, now you're down to $3,000 for your water department. So that's what your net profit is. The mayor says hundreds of thousands, you say 100,000. In reality, you're looking at about $3,000 at current rates. Now, go to the sewer department, because this is all one fund. This is a proprietary fund, it's a business fund. Right now, projected end of the year, total revenue will be $145,788. Expenditures projected, $203,000. That gives you a net loss of $57,000. Your capital outlay, as we know, is another $350,000. And if you want to make a separate capital budget, I'm fine with that. I tried to do it last year, council rejected that. Transfer to general fund, $64,000. Workers' comp, $2,277.59. A net loss at the end of the year of $475,000. Refuge, $106,000 projected revenue, $80,000 expenditures, transfer general fund for overhead again, $14,000. That gives them a net profit in your terms of $12,000. You know what it is for the entire department though? $471,000 net loss for the year. We've already taken $200,000 in cash. We did $50,000 in January, and we did $150,000 in July of cash, property tax money to subsidize the utility fund. That's $200,000. At the end of the year, one more month, 2 months of these reports, we're going to have another $290,000 that we're going to have to use in cash to subsidize that. It makes no sense. Cut water rates when there is no profit. I mean, you keep saying that, you keep telling people that, your supporters keep saying that on Facebook or wherever, and it just simply is not true. There is no money there. And if you want to transfer, if you want to raise sewer rates to cover that cost, that's fine. I told you that before. We can do that. But simply cutting and adding to the debt burden, adding to the property tax subsidy, does not make sense.
Okay, can I get a breakdown of what the 143,663 is for?
What is the proprietary fund getting from that?
It's paying about 30 items at a percentage ratio of its expenses, overhead expenses. For example, water and sewer. Clerk is an employee in this building, and a portion of that wage is, well, actually, that's not true. All her wage comes out of water.
Right.
But a percentage of the telephone, percentage of the building costs here, the electric, air conditioning, the overhead expenses to use this building. We produce all of the utility bills here on equipment that's paid for out of the general fund, administrative, and so there's a percentage of those costs that are there. There is a schedule. It takes things from 100% to 20% in most cases of an existing cost in the general fund that is then repaid by the utility fund. And they're actual legitimate overhead expenses of the utility fund.
Yeah, and I understand that there's going to be some of that. I totally believe that part of the utility fund ought to pay for part of your salary and part of the electrical costs of this building. I get all that, intertransfer. So what I'd like to see is a more detailed breakdown of where that number comes from.
Sure.
And we can't do that tonight, obviously, so I already know where this is going. I'll go ahead and withdraw my motion.
Well, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Why did our audit report claim that we broke even back 2014-2015 when our rates were a lot less?
It didn't.
Because it didn't.
It didn't run over that.
It says in the utility fund. I'll pull it up.
It's on page 17.
It actually still has a slight transfer.
Yeah, it does show a profit.
Well, yeah, we'll look at the transfer.
Page 17 of the audit report, it actually does show that it's, and even when you add the transfers in, it showed that our net position went up.
Yes, by assets, value of assets, not cash.
Right.
Yeah, and we subsidized to get to that.
And that was after capital expenses, right?
That's capital expenses.
You still have to pay for capital expenses.
Right.
If we had a debt service, we have a debt service tax rate, that's where that would come from. We don't. So it all comes out of the
right.
M&O.
Thank you.
So it is M&O. We have no debt.
I realize that. Well, it's not all M&O. It's still a cap. When you buy a capital asset, you still depreciate it.
You still have to pay for it.
You still have to pay for it, but it's just like if you were to have a bond, you know, that would come out of property taxes.
Right.
And
you
that's part
and
of the
you could structure that, and you could stretch it out, and you could restructure it. To keep a flat cost on that, but we have no debt, so we don't have any of that flexibility. If we make a capital purchase, we have to pay for it, or we have to issue a bond.
But it's over a long period of time. It's not necessarily that we're depleting by that amount, because that's actually stretched out.
Actually, on your balance sheet, you will, because you're taking all that debt on. It will be a liability that shows on your balance sheet. We actually will spend more money because we'll have the debt, the bonding cost. That we'll have to pay.
All right, do you withdraw your motion?
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to, so 7.2 is no go, we're going to go to 7.3. Consideration and approval of ordinance number 2016-217, authorizing the mayor to execute a contract with the Maraway for potential waste collection, disposal, recycling, and providing determination of the existing contract for potential waste collection, disposal, recycling, and public services. Do we have a motion?
I make a motion to approve ordinance 2016-217, authorizing the mayor to execute a contract with Maraway Inc. for residential waste collection, disposal, and recycling, and provide for termination of existing contract for residential waste collection, disposal, and recycling with the public service.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
So we have a motion to approve ordinance number 2016-217, brought by Alderwoman Schnell, seconded by Alderman Martin. It's open for discussion. And AmeriWaste is here tonight, and I know that there were some public comments that were talking about recycling and things like that, so I wanted to see if you wanted to give an overview of the recycling.
I mean, we'd be more than happy to answer any questions.
State your name for the record.
I'm Janelle Marin with AmeriWaste. I have with me Val Cantu, who's our operations manager, and Jacqueline Hilbert, who's our office manager.
So there were some concerns about the minimum that you guys are requiring in your contract of 200 people for the recycling.
Well, I guess we'll step back and kind of talk about the recycling first. It has originally been stated that not everyone in the community does recycle. So in order to not have the city burdened with the entire cost of recycling and paying for every single home, we do this in several of our communities. Those residents who choose to recycle, we bill them once a year for the entire year. The recycling service, including tax, is less than $36, so with tax, barely $3 a month. $3 a month. So $36 for the year, just under $36. We provide the recycle bin. It is set up on a contract that is every other Wednesday. It is on a separate day from trash, where there is no question about if it's being commingled or we use Sea Breeze include. That is our recycling, it's actually called a MRF. They're the ones that actually process it. And I'm not saying that everything that would potentially be picked up at the city would get recycled. They do the separation based on what can actually be recycled. People always end up putting something in the recycling that ends up that cannot be. But they make that determination. We do not. So it goes, you know, to them, and they make the determination. They're the ones that sell the recycling for whatever profit they may be. We actually pay a tipping fee. It is less than our cost at the landfill to dispose of normal household trash, but there is a cost burden back on us other than labor and vehicle and transportation and our tipping fee. So we set it up where the city did not take the full burden of a recycling program and make all the residents pay for recycling when, in fact, not all residents would be participating. The 200 was just our kind of what we felt would be our minimum number to be able to come out, you know, every other Wednesday with our cost. You know, that's negotiable. You know, if we come up with 150 people in the community that want to recycle, I mean, we're going to provide the recycling service. If we come up with 25, you know, we really can't come out for 25 folks. So, I mean, that's why, you know, there is a kind of a minimum set in the proposal.
But there's kind of a little bit of a fluctuation there.
Right.
Are you going to provide cards rather than the small bins?
We're not allowed, you know, I'm sorry.
She said she would answer questions.
Yeah, but not...
But if the council doesn't ask the questions, in the beginning, we're done.
What about
both? We're not there yet. Let me finish. Okay. On the regular household trash, it is twice a week regular household trash, green waste on both pickup days, cut bundled and tied green waste on both pickup days. And there are requirements in that, no longer than 4 foot, no more than 50 pounds must be tied. The last Thursday of each month is your bulk pickup day, which we gave an example in our proposal. And it lists items that are just going to be picked up if they're put out on the curb. They have to be able to go into our garbage truck. They have to meet certain requirements to go into our truck. Anything that goes outside of that, we deal with the resident directly. Someone has a rent house, the renter moves out, they put half the house on the curb, we will deal with the resident in a fair basis and come out. We will bill the resident directly because that's going to be a special pickup. So we try to cover both ends. What is your normal residential heavy trash that you're going to put out, and then what's actually called the unusual. So we deal with the resident directly on that. The city does not take on the burden of that, and all the residents do not have to pay for people that continue to do that. So we try to be as fair as we can with the city billing the city for what is normal trash, and then we deal with the residents. And on those items, the resident doesn't have to deal with us. I mean, if they want to take it to the landfill or pay someone else to come pick it up, haul it off, and we don't have an issue with that.
Do you have a fee schedule for all that?
Yes, it was included in the proposal.
It's not included in that.
It was included in the proposal, which was provided to council, I think, the very first time it made it.
I mean, that's a basic, and it says, okay, these are the things that we're going to pick up on the last Thursday of each month. These things that fall outside, it's going to cost the resident this much.
I think one of the items, I think there was something that said that you would do a table and 4 chairs, but a table and 6 chairs was additional or something like that. Are we allowed to, like, bust up 2 of the chairs?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, a single chair you could put out is your normal household.
Like a recliner or something?
The recliners, the backs have to come off because of the size of them.
Okay.
And then it depends on if it's electric. I mean, so there's certain...
to put everything in one big generic bag makes it difficult.
Yeah, you come around with a cloth just big enough.
Okay, there's no public comment at this time. You're going to be asked to leave next time.
You won't be getting a burden.
Can you remove him, please?
For that?
Yeah. We've asked him not to, and he can come.
He'll leave. All I got to do is look at him. He'll leave.
Better than looking at you.
Well, he just wanted to give Angela a seat, that's all.
Sorry.
Yeah, I
no, that's okay.
So you don't have bulk waste in this proposal?
No, we do. It's the last Thursday of each month, and your bulk is...
And is it off?
No. It's like twin mattresses, kitchen chairs, lawn equipment.
These are small items.
It's your smaller items that they have to fit into the hopper.
I know what our residents are thinking. Time. They're thinking you're coming around with a claw, picking it up, and dropping it in a bucket.
Yeah. No, this is what's picked up with the normal trash truck.
So as part of our current contract, we have that every week. I mean, we put that out there and they pick it up.
But not heavy truck, like trees. A tree comes down. If we got rotten trees,
correct,
cut them down, all that, put it on the side of the road. You want to pick that up?
No, she will brush.
Trees.
Right.
Tree trunks.
Oh, a whole tree,
correct,
trunk. It depends on what the size is.
Correct.
You know, I mean, if it's a tree has fallen down and it's laying on the side of the street, probably not.
If it's cut up.
It will be picked up each pickup day. Not on a special pickup day, on your normal pickup days. If it's cut up and it needs to...
So a 40-foot tree cut up in sections, you'll pick it up?
If it is.
Not a clog truck or anything like that?
Right. If it's less than 50 pounds and it's not more than 18 inches in diameter and it's cut in 4-foot chunks.
I think that's the same that Republic. That's the same guidelines Republic has right now.
No. Republic wants it in a can.
Yeah. They don't pick it up.
We're not supposed to have public comments.
No, we're not supposed to. This is not a big issue.
I know.
It is the rule.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So if we bundle it, like right now, we can bundle it. Before, when we had bulk pickup, we could do 4-foot bundles, and it was the same thing, where we could cut up a tree and we could bundle it and put it by the road, and you'll pick it up
on the normal pickup day.
Okay. So you'll pick up our brush Tuesdays and Thursdays, as long as it's bundled and out by the road. We just can't stick a whole tree trunk out there. We have to cut it up in smaller sections.
Correct.
So they can handle it.
Yeah.
So each section will need to be a minimum of 50 pounds, or a maximum of 50 pounds each.
Right.
Okay.
4-foot long. It has to be able to fit into the hopper and be picked up by the two helpers.
Okay.
So with this, do we have it set up like a clean-up, green-up? Or once a year, twice a year, you come through during season changes, come in, and as we're cutting limbs back, or say a storm, heavy winds, that sort of thing, we cut up and put it out. Some of this stuff cannot be 50 pounds and 4 feet. It may be a good-sized tree or what have you.
I mean, that's something
is that something
we can,
that's built into this, or is that something
it is not built into this, but that's something that's very negotiable. We do that in a lot of our communities. We have twice a year where we actually bring roll-off containers into the community and the residents come
and we
bring all their extra things.
We would do that, though, if you're picking it up every week.
He's talking specific,
like if we had a hurricane come in or something.
Well, no, he's talking springtime, fall time. And that's what we have, our spring and fall cleanups in several communities where we stage in the community, we provide roll-offs. The resident has to bring it to us. We're not going to their house. They have to bring it to us. You know, it gets loaded in the roll-offs and it goes away. That's like, you know, twice a year, and it's usually spring and fall. But that's very easy to incorporate. That's also included in that spring and fall cleanup. It's green waste, but it's also heavy trash. Requirements are no tires, no batteries, no paint. I mean, there's no hazardous, but normal household items.
But we can put that stuff out any pickup day and you'll pick it up, right?
Okay.
And then also there was, do you guys want to allow citizen comments because they can ask questions? Okay.
For this item, and we can make an exception to that.
Okay.
I think it's appropriate.
All right, Angel, did you have some questions you wanted to ask?
So you have this roll-off that I got a smart car. I'm gonna fit something like this big in my passenger seat and bring it to you. Is there a possibility of you coming out? I have I mean, it's deteriorating now, but I have a pile that should be a burn pile, but kind of afraid of getting arrested for arson.
He's not looking.
I was told if I just put a grill over it, it's fine.
But right, if you, we have the bulk, I think you can just put it out to your road as long as you
have. Have you seen some of those tree trunks?
Have you seen some of those tree trunks?
But it's also, I mean, something in that instance is the supervisor will come out and say, look, you know, this is what we can do. You know, it may cost you X number of dollars for us to get the rest of it done based on what your specific requirement is. And that's what I was saying. Your specific requirement, she doesn't have to pay for.
Absolutely.
You pay for.
Right.
Yes. So, yes.
And when she's throwing out her refrigerator, I shouldn't have to pay for that.
That's correct. I mean, and that's how we try to do it, so where the city is paying for your normal trash, all your extra stuff, you have to pay for. Or you take it someplace else. That's like your option.
I have two questions. One on the recycling. If
yes,
we're
going
to recycle everything, are you going to supply 96-gallon carts as opposed to the small recycle bins?
It is currently set up to do the 18-gallon bins. In our other communities, we have both options at different prices. I think when we originally did this, the mayor wanted to try to keep it as simple as could be. But carts are available, and it's at like a one-time cart fee that you pay.
I have a cart from two companies ago, and I recycle a ton, and I plan on continuing to do it, and I don't.
We will pick up that cart.
Okay.
If you have a cart and you're going to put it out, we will pick up that cart.
It's labeled recycling. My second point is, and I mentioned this to the mayor, on East Bayou Drive, and I've been there almost 12 years, after we finally got an asphalt road, the city, back when Nancy was the mayor, said that the trash trucks would not come down East Bayou onto my side. I'm at the end of the lane because they would tear up the road. And so on Mondays, we take our carts up to the dead end at Forest and East Bayou. And my one neighbor puts his out on Thursday, and the city guys would come down. There's only four houses on that side. Anybody that put their trash cart out on Thursday morning by 7 o'clock, the city guys would come and take it to the dead-end barricade because the trucks were not allowed down the street. My main thing is I don't want trash trucks down that street because if it starts disintegrating, we'll probably never get it fixed. But will we still be able to have somebody come and roll them up? I roll mine down on Monday, but my neighbor uses it on Thursday. So can we still have the same consideration since the truck should not come down that street? Because the other side of these bodies is concrete. Our side is this blacktop, and you bring that big truck down there, our road is red.
I think for Mr.
Let me answer that. The city asked them not to drive on that section of the road, and the city public works department picks up those trash cans and brings them to the corner where they're collected. So no matter who the contractor is, we would continue to do that portion of it. They would pick it up at the intersection just like that was your house.
Okay, because I didn't see it in the proposal. I just wanted to make sure that exception was there.
I guess in one road at four houses, they bring it.
I mean, that's something that, you know, if y'all come to terms and we approve the contract, we can sit down with whomever council chooses and go over those special items so we can make sure we take care of them. I mean, we have seniors that we deal with that don't bring it out if they're like handicapped that we do special things for. But those are things that the city has to communicate to us.
Okay.
Do you
so
have to collect the recycling or not?
No.
Okay, so I've only been out here for a year and a half, and shortly after I moved out here, our heavy trash was mixed. And before that, it was like hit or miss. So you put your stuff out, sometimes they pick it up, and sometimes your truck would break down. So with paying for this, are we going to get our money's worth? And whatever you guys, when your truck breaks down, for whatever reason, or whatever happens, I mean, I understand, stuff happens. Does the city or does the consumers get reimbursed for you not coming out at that time?
I can't ever tell you, even during the 4 weeks, ever missed a pickup.
I get it, but you know, sometimes.
I mean,
we have Republican.
Republican
made it religiously up to the company, but for some reason they got stuck coming out.
I mean, you will have your twice a week pickup. I mean, if there is some issue that there's some reason that we're not going to be here on a Thursday, the city will know and we will be here Friday. I've never had to do any type of reimbursement. Even we have a lot of individual people, like out in the county, that we've ever had to do any kind of reimbursement for this. Even after I grew up.
Yeah,
and there. Right.
Is there anybody else that has any questions?
Do y'all have any, get some actual rates on, like, whatever refrigerator or large fuel cost? And do y'all have the haul trucks available?
We do. We call it a brush truck, but yeah, we have a brush truck.
You know, somebody get some rates on what that would, you have got it through here twice a year. And we don't need it once a month. We can't afford to have it once a month. Well, I certainly not twice a year, you know, we get rates on it.
So maybe what we can do is we can work on getting the bulk and the recycling in the household. Later on, we can discuss with them on a separate contract to come in twice a year with them cleanup, and that's what they want to do.
If the council chooses to sit down and negotiate a contract, I mean, we sit down and we negotiate a contract. Do we talk about things you may want to add or take away, you know, until it's signed, it's not a contract.
Gary Morgan, from 510 Shore Acres. Thanks for the presentation. $36 a year for recycling is incredibly modest, and I'd write that check. I appreciate the fact that we have recycling, even though I only put mine out every couple of weeks. I'd much prefer the system we have now because we all pay it, and whether you use it or not, you know, and I'm curious in communities what sort of a response rate would you expect in a community like this, because it's in my water bill, I don't think about it. I'd write the check, maybe I forget to write the check, maybe my neighbors wouldn't write the check.
To be able to pick it up, and it has to be able to fit into the back of our normal truck. Those are the items that are no charge, because the one truck coming through picking up with your normal household trash. It's the items that cause special handling, where we're sending a special vehicle out, that there is a charge.
Okay.
have a question. And so in that instance, if someone's calling for a special pickup, one of the concerns I have is what we have around here when we had hit and miss pickup. People, it just looked like hell all up and down the road. People would put things out, it'd be out there for a month or 2 weeks. What kind of turnaround? Number one, will there be an ordinance to support people not putting things out, which I know you can't answer, but I would like, hopefully, the city would enforce that. And then two, what is your question to you is, what's your turnaround on some, I call, I have a dresser, how soon will you come out?
Once the item is paid for, it's usually within 48 hours, unless that falls in a weekend. So this is it.
Can you do like an online payment for that?
Are there any other questions?
I got one on the recycling.
Yes, sir.
Like right now, we're doing the plastic, paper, cardboard. Do you do the bottles and cans also?
Yes. Glass, aluminum, glass. Can, cardboard, plastic, newspaper, magazines, junk mail.
I'm like, you know, $36.
We have a pretty extensive list. I mean, there are some things that we cannot take, you know, like ceramics and
bottles, cans, paper.
Auto parts, glass, you know, glass doors, those types of things.
All right, is there any other questions from council? Just in summary,
yes, ma'am.
The contract is going to be for regular trash pickup Tuesdays and Thursdays. And then
Mondays and Thursdays.
And then we bundle, you know, green clippings, trees, small tree limbs, and all that. On any long clippings, you'll also pick that up on those days.
Mondays and Thursdays.
And then recycling is every other Wednesday,
yes,
and that's an opt-in.
Yes, ma'am.
And then the last Thursday of each month is the bulky.
Yes.
Pickup. All right. And this is.
And I have one more question. I'm sorry. Are you done?
I'm
done. Okay. In your rate, the rates are locked in for 2 years, right? There's no fuel increase charges?
It's a two-year lock.
Two-year lock. Okay.
And the third, prior to the third year, based on CPI or essentially what any cost would be with us, it's normally CPI. We do not have a fuel surcharge. The only other time we would probably come to council is if there's some change in law that we have to pass some fee on that.
Otherwise,
they better or
stay the same for 2 years. And then the monthly fee for household is $14.86.
Yes, ma'am.
So $1.50 more than what we're paying now. And we'll get bulk once a month, like twice a week brush, twice a week household, and once every week. Once every other week recycling, but that's
for those that opt in. And yeah, they pay that direct one time.
That's it. I don't have any more questions.
Mr.
Jennings,
I feel bad because
you
haven't spoken to me and asked me any questions.
Well, I'm sorry.
Are we good? No questions?
Okay. I like a lot of this. I like the separate charges. But I tell you what, I'm going to make a motion to table this. And if I get a second, I'll tell you why.
I'll second.
Please. I want to table this, not that I'm, because I don't want to vote against it.
No, I understand. And, I mean, I think a lot has gone on.
Behind you, mm-hmm. And they're not really proposals. And I think Mr. Moyer said earlier, we need to put this in a matrix form. Basically, if I have to vote tonight, I got to vote against it because it's before the other two proposals and we haven't even had a chance to talk about that. But, Mayor Kenney certainly speaks well of your company. So that's my motion. I have a second.
So we have a motion to table, brought by Jennings, seconded by Bowles. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against?
Nay.
Okay, so 3-2 is tabled until next council meeting. The ayes are Jennings, McCown, and
again, it's not to vote against the mayor.
Well, no, that's fine.
The nays are Snell and Hoskins.
If you have any questions that you'd like answered, feel free to call me directly. My cell number is on there, along with the office number. The mayor has a listing of all of our current cities and references. I encourage you to call them if you haven't spoken to anyone, and they'll tell you the type of service that we provide and what we do for their community. Thank you for coming.
Mayor, can I throw a question real quick?
And now we're, okay. I'm sorry, it's okay, so we're going to move on to 7.4, discussion of proposal by Waste Management for residential waste collection. Proposal and discussion.
They're separate than the head, that's why I want to do that.
So do we have a motion? No motion? I'm sorry, it's discussion, a proposal by Waste Management for residential waste collection, disposal and recycling brought by Alderman Jones.
No, I think I want to wait until the next session when we have everything together.
Is it all three, 7.7?
Yes.
Okay, so we want to just go ahead and skip over 7.4 and 7.5. We're going to put them on the next.
Well, we have it died for lack of emotion.
Okay.
So and the next one's going to die for lack of emotion.
That's what I was asking. So we're going to move on to 7.6. Consideration and approval of resolution number 2016-201 requesting the Texas legislature to modify existing statute to allow general law municipalities the authority to pass ordinances creating safe zones protecting children from registered sex offenders.
Okay. I'm going to approve resolution 2016-201 requesting. Go ahead.
Go ahead, read it.
I'll read the whole thing. Requesting the Texas legislature to modify existing statute and allow general law municipalities the authority to pass ordinances creating safe zones protecting children from registered sex offenders.
Second. So we have a motion to approve resolution number 2016-201 brought by Alderman Hoskins, seconded by Alderman Schnell.
Okay, this resolution, all it does is a resolution that gets sent literally to State Representative Drew Springer's office, and it's going to be collected by TML. And the whole point of this resolution is that general law cities do not have the power under the legislature to create what's called safe zones. So, for example, a registered sex offender can hang out at Circle Park all day long. We have no such way, and city council has no power to enforce or write any ordinances controlling any of that. And that's really all we're doing is asking that the state legislature give us that authority. It should be pretty simple, I think. And if we get that authority, then we have the power to write ordinances and do such.
That keep sex offenders from our parks.
That creates safe zones. That's all.
So what he's doing is, you want to, some missed it, they want to know. Can you repeat that? I'm sorry.
Okay, this is just a resolution, and State Representative Drew Springer is collecting these resolutions to propose for a general law city, which is what we are, the authority, or actually change the state law so that we have the authority as council to write an ordinance defining what's called a safe zone, where we can prevent registered sex offenders from playing in our playgrounds.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, to me, this is a no-brainer. This should be an easy one. We don't have that authority at this point as a general law city.
Okay. So, we have a motion to approve resolution number 2016-201 brought by Alderman Hoskins, seconded by Alderman Schnell. All those in favor?
Aye.